Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening this morning. Again, we want to remind you of the change that's coming in a few weeks in January of 2013. We are going to begin to answer your questions on the air in our Bible program starting in January. Write those questions in care of the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. Write your question and we will give you a Bible answer beginning the first Sunday in January. We also ask you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. There you will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We ask you to check it out. Also, at the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. When Jesus was upon this earth, he spent 3.5 years with his disciples, teaching them, instructing them, and preparing them for the work that he was giving them to do after his departure. During the time, Jesus taught them many lessons during his brief time with them, and on a number of occasions, Peter, James, and John were privileged to be with the Lord for some special teaching. Sometimes these three are considered the inner group of the 12 disciples. Three of these events are recorded in the Gospel, which we want to examine today to help us learn some lessons concerning death. We want to look at three things that we can learn about death by looking, first of all, at the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration, and the prayer of the Lord in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Each of these involved death to some point, also fear, and sleeping and awakening. And we want to examine what we can learn from these three events. First of all, we deal with the power of Jesus over death in the case of Jairus' daughter. In Luke chapter 8, this is recorded, and we want to read in verse 54 and 55. Luke chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. He put them all outside, took her by the hand, called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then the girl's spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. "Don't be afraid, only believe." That's what the account says in Mark 5, verse 36. "She is not dead, she is sleeping." They laughed him to scorn, but then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. Jesus has power over death. In John chapter 2, verse 19, foretelling his death, he said in 3 days he would rebuild the temple. He was not calling about the physical temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. In John chapter 5, verse number 28 and 29, Jesus gave us the assurance of his power over death when he said, "Do not marvel at this, for the time and the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Yes, Jesus is going to have power over death. He raised Lazarus after 4 days. Read John chapter 11. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 25. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And then, in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 9, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 9. "Knowing that Christ has been, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." Yes, Jesus has the power of death. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, we're told he has the keys to Hades and to death. Why? He overcame both realms. He overcame death after the third day. He left the Hadean realm. His body did not see corruption. Read Psalms chapter 16, 8 through 10, and also the resurrection account in Matthew in the 28th chapter in the first 6 verses. Yes, Jesus has power over death. The next thing we want to consider is the victory of Jesus over death. And this takes us to the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew, the 17th chapter, we want to read the first 5 verses. Matthew 17, verse 1 through 5. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to them, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But while he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes were as white as the light. Moses and Elijah spoke of his decrease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus' victory over death even before he died. They were greatly afraid, Mark's account says in chapter 9 and verse 6. But Jesus came and touched them, and they were encouraged, Matthew 17, verse 7. His compassion. Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory, Luke chapter 9, verse 32. Jesus was victorious over death. He gives us victory over death. And we have the hope and the assurance and the promise. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, we are told that it is God's greatest example of the deity of his Son, the resurrection from the dead. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 10, in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we shall also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all men sin. Yes, the victory of Jesus over death at the Mount of Transfiguration. That event was to be something that the disciples, those 3, were not to talk about until after the resurrection of the Son. And so that was something that they were privileged to see, the message of Jesus' prophecy of his victory over death. But we cannot conclude our study without looking at the events of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, Jesus is about to be arrested. His time is growing very short. He has had the final conversation with his disciples as recorded in John 13 through 17. He has had the Last Supper with them, observing the Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper. And now the time that Judas and his betrayer and those with him are coming to arrest him. And we read in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of him, Jesus was led away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance of the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, and they found none. But at last 2 false witnesses came forward and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it up in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to you, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of the coming of the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. Yes, they were going to turn him over to be crucified. But prior to that, he was in the garden earlier in chapter 26. He took with him, in verse 37, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And a second time he went away, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And so he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Yes, he was deeply in distress. And he prayed that they would not fear, but they would not be led into temptation, according to Luke's account in Luke 22, verse 40. They awoke to his sorrow in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. Yes, Jesus had sorrow over death in his life at the friend of his friend Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 35. He was acquainted with our grief even before he experienced them, according to Isaiah chapter 53. And yet, he knew he was going to die. He knew that he was going to give his life. He knew that he was going to be crucified. And he would taste death for every man, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. And even though Jesus sorrowed over death, it was not because he was not willing to die. He understood the death and the pain and the anguish and the loneliness that it gave man. It was not as God had planned, but it was a consequence of sin and one that brought great grief to the Lord, and yet even great grief to his humanity as he faced his own death on the cross for you and for me. Yes, Jesus sorrowed over death, but not because he was afraid to die, but because he knew that death would free men from the anguish of death. What application can we make of these three lessons of the raising of Jairus' daughter, the victory over death in the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus' sorrow over his own death in Matthew chapter 26? We need not fear death. Why? It is dispelled by our faith in him. Because we know he overcame it, we will overcome it. By the touch of Jesus, he was given strength. And by the touch of our Lord, and by him giving his voice and telling us to come forth on that last great day, we will awake and we will be resurrected to a new life, to a new body. Brethren, we need to awake and we need to see a living, risen, and powerful Savior who has power over death, victory over death, and sorrow for the things which death brings to us. But by his great example and his teaching, we too shall have victory over death. You need not fear death if you are with the Lord. If one is with the Lord, then he has the courage to face death. But without the Lord, death would be a terrible ordeal to face alone. So when your time comes, and my time comes, to cross the proverbial Jordan, to go on the other side, if we want to lift our lives in comfort and in peace, then we need to walk with the Lord now. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Lord's Day.